Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, my name is Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me, just like every single week, is manager Jacob, and just like every single week, very curious. What are you eating or drinking this
okay,
week?
Okay, Sarah, this is our first episode that we're recording back because we just had our New Year, New Us podcast come
actually,
out last
it was New
week.
Year, Same Us.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate. But you know what? I was talking a lot about snacks the last half of the year. I'm changing it up. And I'm starting this year off with a little bit more rest, a little bit more focus on self-care,
you
might say.
I love that for you.
So they've been trending all over TikTok. I even saw Izzy. Izzy is here, and I saw her TikToks. Go check these out. She posted that she was just drinking a sleepy time cocktail. People love these. I tried them. Basically, it's a little mocktail. I should say, that you drink just before bed to kind of help you wind down. Some people put a little ginger in it. Some people put a little sleepy time tea, which is, I think it's just a blend of like chamomile tea and like a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the main ingredient a lot of the time, what I tried, shout out Jake Musser, my client in New York. He was back in Colorado with his mom. I watched his video. His mom put together this sleepy time drink, cranberry juice, like a tart cranberry juice, mm-hmm. and then just magnesium powder in there. Listen, magnesium is apparently the new melatonin. So if you want to like knock yourself out before bed. Now, okay, I thought that was what was maybe going to happen. I was a little nervous the first time because I like put a big heaping scoop of this magnesium powder into my orange juice. And I was like, am I just going to like pass out now? No, mm-hmm. that's not the case. But I did have a much more restful sleep. I woke up and I was like, whoa.
Do you think it's placebo? Do you think it actually works?
I don't even want to look up the science to know because I'm desperate for good
working,
sleep
true.
And it was working. So
that's
I use
melatonin bath stuff to
really?
Go to sleep. Yeah.
Okay.
Sleepy time baths, I guess. Maybe I should try these mocktails. I'm not on that side of TikTok, but now that we've been talking about it, I'm sure they will be all over my For You page, so I'll have
you
to
go
try.
Home and you'll check it out and you'll be all over. What about you? What are you eating or drinking this week, Sarah?
Over the holidays, I officially joined the Stanley Cup.
Did you?
Cult? Is that what we should refer to them
I
as?
Think
the
so,
Stanley
probably
Cup
a cult.
Cult?
Yeah.
Did you see those videos of people like running through Target to go get them?
The
absolutely
new like
insane.
The Valentine's
the Valentine's ones?
The red and pink or
I want to know how many people, like how many cups those people have. Anyways, Tara got me one for Christmas, not my birthday, Jesus's birthday, and it was what is true. And so I got one of those ones. It's got the straw. I'm big on straws in a cup. I'm a big water drinker. I drink like
oh, it's four. Got one of those nubs that like holds it in.
Yeah, and then it just like flips over, and then it like holds it. I can carry
what color
it around
do you
like
have?
This. Green, obviously.
Of course. Why did I even ask?
Well, so the whole thing was she was like, my water bottle was yellow, and she's like, it doesn't make sense for you to have a yellow water bottle.
Yeah.
Anyways, I love my Stanley Cup. I get the hype. I thought everyone was just overreacting to a cup.
So what
but
is
now
it?
I understand.
Like what? I haven't
it's like
had
a
one.
Thermos, but it's a cup, and it has a little straw in it. I don't know. I'm part of the cult now. I don't really understand why, but I love it.
Do you go on walks with it and like, it's so big. It's a personal protection device as well.
You could kill somebody with it. Like when I swing it, I'm like, oh, I could like knock somebody out with it.
I know. Maybe if like there's a little like toss up on the soccer field or something like that, you just whip it and be like, I'm a Stanley girl actually.
I'm a Stanley girl actually. A Stanley girly is what it feels like. I know.
Sarah, what about what you're reading or watching to kick the year off here?
I haven't started reading anything yet. But it's not going to be a reading like slump like last year. I already know it. I got a bunch of books for Christmas, so we're going to get through that. But the blockbuster rom-com is back, everyone. I'm very happy to report that Anyone But You is worth the hype.
Really? Okay.
I literally have never got so many replies, I think, on an Instagram story in my life than when I went to go see that movie and everyone's like, we need a review because we need to know if it's good or not. I just think the marketing was bad. Dear Sony and this people
it was an ongoing PR stunt, right?
Yeah,
like,
100%.
They're in a relationship, Sydney Sweeney and what's his name?
Jacob.
I always blank on this guy's name. Listen, he's great.
Celebrity crush since Scream Queens.
Actually?
100%. Most charming man in America.
Do you
or
buy them
the world.
As a couple, though, in the movie?
No, yes. Movie. Okay, I don't love Sydney Sweeney personally. I think she's one tone. Like, she's the same character and everything. I've seen Euphoria some episodes, but I watched her in White Lotus, and she's kind of the same character in this. Okay, but Glenn Powell is so charming and incredible. The script is actually really good. I'd say it's more calm than rom. It's a calm rom than a rom-com.
Okay.
Like, it is a rom-com, but it's like the comedy actually comes first. I laughed and giggled and kicked my feet like a little schoolgirl the entire time watching it because it was so good. There's some steamy scenes. Crazy.
Okay.
But it was really fun. And I loved being in a movie theater, just like going with your girlfriends to like watch a rom-com. I feel like that, like, you don't do that anymore. It's like you watch it on Netflix and you text about it.
Yeah. And you know what? I was scrolling Netflix the other night, like on this past weekend, going through, and there are a lot of older rom-coms, right? Like stuff that you would go back to as a classic to rewatch. Yeah. Not a lot of new rom-coms that are good.
But Glenn Powell's in good new rom-coms. Watch Set It Up if you haven't seen it. Another all-time favorite rom-com that's on Netflix.
Okay.
Anyways, Glenn Powell is single-handedly carrying rom-coms on his back again. The movie was great. I will probably actually go see it again in theaters because it was that fun. Yeah, it was so fun. Like, why not? And I love looking at Glenn Powell, so why would I not go watch it again? What about you?
Okay, it's also in theaters right now, and it's probably the exact opposite of what you've been watching, but it's The Iron Claw.
I saw it too.
Did you? Oh my God.
Cry? Did you cry?
Okay, I went into it. I shed, I think, 2 tears. Yeah.
Two single tears?
Yeah. I'm not a big cry in public person, though. That's a barrier I still have to break through.
Okay, got it.
Especially if I'm snacking on something, it's tough. There's the balance of like... focused. The suspension of disbelief is tough when you have like a pocket full of those red Swedish berries.
Got it. Okay. So
but
Iron
what
Claw.
A movie.
Did you go in blind? Like you didn't know anything about it?
Okay. The only thing that I'd seen, obviously I knew who was in it because I'm a big fan.
Of
I'm
Zac
a big
Efron?
Zac Efron fan, first of all.
Especially
High
after this
all
movie.
Day.
But especially after this movie, he's like actually.
Yeah. No, but that's what I was going to say. It's like when you know, you go into something and there's an actor that you know from such a big mm-hmm. movie or a big series or something that you like, you're clearly Troy Bolton.
Yes,
you know what
exactly.
I mean. Speaking of suspension of disbelief, it was so easy to watch him as this character,
yeah, exactly,
because he was so good at it.
I know,
and it's a well written film, and just it's so well done. It's also
so sad,
extremely sad
and tragic.
That was the only other thing I knew before going into it was
that it was like
that
a
there's
tragedy.
Like there's kind of a gut punch at the end, and that's what I knew, and it's sad, and then it was like gut punch after
I know,
gut punch
again
after
and again
gut
and again.
Punch. But I don't regret going to it. I knew it's one that I would see again.
It was like, exactly. I think I would see it again too. It was great. I do think it was a movie that would have been amazing as a limited series where you could have done each of the brothers as like an episode or something, just because like there were still like so many questions I had that I just ended up Googling after. Mm-hmm. But Iron Claw also great. There's been some great movies in theaters recently, so it's very exciting.
Yeah, honestly.
What are you listening to, Jacob? We actually wrote the exact same thing down. 3, 2, 1.
Tate McRae.
But you want to start because you said Tate
McRae. Yeah, okay.
McRae,
I was writing these
cause...
notes down and I didn't see you. I didn't know that you had written something down yet. And I wrote Tate McRae part two because I think on a previous episode.
You went on a rant a couple
one,
weeks ago. Yes.
I went on a positive Tate McRae rant. And
are you about to go on a negative one?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm
good.
Just going to double down on my Tate McRae hype fandom.
Fandom.
Not a lot of music is released in the period between Christmas and New Year's. It's a busy time for people. They're not listening to a ton of music. And if they are, it's Christmas music, let's be honest. So a lot of new stuff doesn't get released.
Yeah.
that's been the case for the last few weeks, I think. So I was like, what am I going to be listening to right now?
Just Tate McRae on repeat.
Keep going back to
Tate McRae on repeat. I'm doing the exact same thing. I like had listened to it when the album came out, and I just like keep going back to it. I listened to it on my walk to work today.
Yeah,
it's like such a good like hype up album.
What's the song? What is your go to song?
The X's one.
X's, yeah, X's is huge. I've started listening to Think Later.
Think Later is also very
again,
good.
I was like,
my issue is I just listened to the
I'm
album.
I'm just in the race with the door locks.
I just listened to the album. Like, you know when you listen to an album, it's just like repeating it like on shuffle.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know what any of the songs are called, but.
But it is, I'm going to double down on this as well. It's hit after hit after
bangers
hit.
Bangers only.
And especially for a long album, pop artist, it's tough to have a, like just every song.
And do you want to know what? We have to acknowledge Izzy, because Izzy has been asking us to talk about Tate McRae and listen to Tate McRae for like since the podcast started, like a year ago now.
Just talk about or listen to Tate McRae, but have Tate McRae on this podcast.
Izzy's been trying to do that for months.
This is our manifestation
that we're gonna get Tate McRae on the podcast, and Izzy's been saying it forever, and then we really just hopped on the Tate McRae train like full speed. Like, we both knew who she was and we're listening to her, but full speed on the train recently. Like, yeah, we're in first class on the Via with her now. So Izzy, shout out Izzy.
No, I'm shoveling coal into it. I'm
making the train get going. I love that so much.
Sarah, somewhere you went recently here.
I went to the happiest and possibly most stressful place on earth, Walt Disney World.
If anyone has not seen Sarah's like basically vlogs from this entire trip, go back.
It was an experience.
Binge watch them right now.
It was an experience. It was a trip, not a vacation, that's for damn sure. So we went for Tara's birthday. Where else would you want to celebrate going into the last year of your 20s than Disney World? I will say, I don't know how people do that place with children. I only went once when I was 8 years old. My family didn't, whatever. And I guess we focus more on the characters and stuff, but with kids doing rides and stuff, with how long the waits are and all that stuff, yeah. I don't know how you would do it. And like keep kids in, like, it just sounds like a stressful experience. I got so many strollers and little scooters in the ankle while I was there.
Oh, really?
Like an alarming amount. But the group was great. We were all in on like going early to rope drop and all these things. We had like the lightning lane passes. And we were like running around. We did the drink around the world at Epcot, which if you don't know, Epcot has 11 countries and you get a different drink at every single country. I will let the listeners in on that. I did not get an individual drink at every single country, or else I would not be here to tell the tale. But we did share drinks for like most of it, so we could actually do the drink around the world.
I was actually impressed seeing how many themed cocktails there were.
We got a themed cocktail at every single place.
What was your favorite one?
The Norway one was really good because it was like a Bailey's iced coffee situation. Ooh. Which was so yummy. And then there was also the violet sake in Japan was delicious.
Okay.
It was so yummy.
Fun cups everywhere you went as well.
So much fun cups. Yeah. And except for the one, the most stressed I've ever been in my life. We like really, the back half started to like take our time in each country. And I'm like, guys, the park closes at 8:30. Like, we got to go. And we got to the UK. We're in this pub that literally looks like, it was called Rose and Crown. It looks like any other pub I've been to in the UK. We get our drinks and we hear the bell go for last call. And we just look at each other like, we have to make it home. Because our whole thing was, we're like, we have to make it home, which is Canada. Because we started at Mexico and went
Cinderella,
the other way around.
Hello, also Ty and Disney. Let's go.
Exactly. Before the, oh my God, I never even thought of it. Before this like strikes midnight, I start running with these drinks to make it to Canada. And I'm like out of breath. And then we got like the last couple drinks at Canada, thank God. So we made it home. We did it. It was a success.
Amazing.
If you're going to go to Disney as an adult, you have to drink around Epcot.
I was
going to
say,
well,
if you're going to give one recommendation for someone who's just going to do Disney, not
get,
just a drink
get the Genie
world,
Plus like, Lightning Lane, pay for it. It's worth it. It's the only way you'll go on any rides. That's really? My one recommendation. Okay. We did 11 rides a day as opposed to, I think people do 2 or 3.
And then did you just crash at night?
Oh, I was in bed by 9:30 p.m.
Yeah,
every single
I'd be
night.
Like, I'm overstimulated right now.
Overstimulated right now, and I'm probably going to get sick this week. What summer you went?
Okay, mine again is almost complete opposite of what yours was. Talking about
House of Mouse. Disney World.
Shout out to Toronto. The Art Gallery of Ontario, the AGO, is here. I went there with Haley and Keith Haring. There's a Keith Haring exhibit on right now.
Is that the guy that makes like the mice, though? Like the
makes
they're like
the
look,
mice.
Don't they look like mice?
No, that's Koss.
Oh,
K-A-W-S. Keith Haring is like a pop artist that is no longer with us from New York.
Oh.
Friends with like Andy Warhol,
Basquiat,
and all those people.
I don't know art, so.
Really good. I mean, if you like Keith Haring, you like Keith Haring.
Okay,
if you
cool.
don't, you probably would hate going. but it's a worthwhile exhibit. Sometimes the exhibits at a museum, you know, special exhibits, you go and it's like three pieces and it mm-hmm. doesn't really, you know, tell a cohesive story, and it's a little bit of a waste, I would say, if you're interested in this one, go check it out, because there's a ton of good cool art, and it's a good way to spend an afternoon, especially because it's been gray and rainy here in Toronto. But yeah, just go check out a museum in your city.
I love that. And finally, tell me something that you did this week.
Okay. You know, New Year's Eve happened.
It did happen.
When this is coming out, I think a couple weeks ago. A lot of tickets were out there for special events.
Expensive tickets.
Did you see the ROM was like, yeah, I feel like it was $1,000, not even open
it
bar.
It was more expensive than going to Prime Seafood Palace with Maddie Matheson.
Right.
Like, it was literally like, it was like $300 or something.
And you know what? A lot of the times when I've gone to a ticketed event, it's been a disappointment. And
because the expectations are there.
Yeah, even with a house party. So like this year, Haley and I, we stayed in. We just made dinner, chilled.
Aww.
Played Uno. Shout out Uno.
That's nice.
And then we went to bed. Guess what? It was great.
What time did you go to bed at on New Year's Eve?
I think probably like 12 minutes after 12, probably. Oh,
I wish.
But it was a good time. I was like, you know what? I woke up refreshed. I don't know if you can tell by the cadence of me speaking on talking fast that I have a good amount of energy this year.
I like that. And you went like calmly into the new year.
Exactly.
Like how we talked about going calmly into new months. I like that.
So that's the start of my year and something I did that was a little bit different because I've, you know, a lot of the times I might have in the past gone out and drank 5 bottles of champagne myself.
That was more so what my experience was. I was at my home. Like I was in the comfort of my home with slippers on, but my friends did not leave my home until like 5 in the morning. And then it's hard to kick them out.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so
it
anyways.
What about something you did?
So literally today, for the first time, and if any of my CBC fellow colleagues listen to this podcast, I actually don't know if any of them do, you would know that this is a big deal for me. I cleaned my desk. That seems like a very small feat. But for me, who has had a dirty bowl sitting at her desk for legitimately 7 months.
Wait, what was in it?
It was like, it was old crusty Thai food or something. No, it wasn't full. Like, it's just like I had ate out of the bowl and then it was like.
But it wasn't like you had chips in it or something.
No.
This was growing bacteria.
No, it actually, I would always check on it. It didn't have bacteria.
You check on it. What do you mean you check on it?
I finally cleaned it today though. That's not the point.
You like open the drawer and say, how you doing, little buddy?
I'm trying to share that I had growth and you're just like poking holes in it. Okay, no, sorry.
You know what? I'm just going to encourage you.
I cleaned my entire desk. I got rid of all the pointless crap. I had 7 full water bottles at my desk. Got rid of all of those. Not plastic. Like reusable water bottles because kept bringing them. I set up a little coffee machine. Now I have Sarah's Coffee Corner with a little Keurig action with all these little cups.
We love it.
Now people can come and talk to me at my desk with my little chair and my little, anyways.
Excuse for a little chit chat. How does it feel?
Exactly. I feel like a weight. I feel like, because I did it at the end of the day today before I came here, I feel like it will be a weight off my shoulders when I go back into the office in a couple days.
There's nothing
like when
like
I roll
that.
Up to my clean desk.
Yeah.
But they're going to be like, who sits here? They're going to know it's me. That's for damn sure with that bowl gone. But
that's huge. Okay. Well, I withdraw my chirp and I pass on congratulations.
Thank you. Our guest today shares everything from skincare tips to gift card roulette, vlogs, and technology with her rapidly growing audience. Much like myself, she's a hard time sitting still, and I can't wait to hear about her newfound journey of self-employment that she's on. Please welcome to Talking Fast, Kate.
Hey, thanks so much for having me today.
Thanks for coming. So today was actually like officially your first day on your self-employment journey.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
How does that feel?
It is bizarre. It is Monday and I got to choose when I woke up.
Oh, I love that.
I didn't have to get onto Slack and be like, I'm here, guys. I'm here. Don't worry. I got to go grab a coffee whenever I wanted. But it is a little scary being like, all right, game's on. Like, I got to start generating income. I got to pay rent.
Did you have the pull to your pocket of like wanting to check if you had any emails
coming in? Even Friday night at 6 p.m. out of habit, just grab the phone, check Slack. Oh, locked out. Right. That's like, a thing. It's freeing, but you know, like now it's game time, which is fun. It's exciting.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, I think, to see like, those like little habits, how long it takes to break them, I feel like, of like even just like the, I feel even like sometimes like the watching over your shoulder to be like, am I doing enough work or this or that, or I'm still online, like that type of stuff. So I find that really interesting that you now get to be free of that. We'll get to all of the like you like how you found yourself on the self-employment journey and stuff earlier. But before, I want to like introduce you to our audience and talk a little bit more about your creator journey and how you ended up here and how we ended up talking at this table. Have you always been someone that's like created content, or like is this something that's like came naturally to you, or is it kind of newer?
It was definitely a 2020 moment, as a lot of creators that happened. I was sitting at home. I needed a safe hobby to do at home to fill the time after work. And I realized that my skin wasn't in a great state. I never wore sunscreen as a kid, and I was probably the worst person to not wear sunscreen. I was trying to keep up with my tanned friends. And so I was sort of looking in the mirror at around 25, and I'm like, damn, I have a lot of sun damage. So I started to look into it. I started to watch YouTube videos. I got really into like the science behind skincare. And then I would bother my poor fiance every night at the dinner table, where I'd be like, niacinamide is super cool, and here's why, and here's the optimal percentage. And he's like, great. Like, he was super supportive, but he said, why don't you try and form a community that kind of cares more than I do?
Yeah. Oh, he's like, okay, I love that though. Like, respectfully, like, yeah, just like talk about it on the internet.
Yeah, like, yeah. Maybe pick people that care. I'm like, got it. Message received. So I did just that. I actually started a YouTube channel first, and I got really good feedback there. So I created an Insta page, did that for a few years, just like went with it. The thought of it was very cringy, but I'm like, I gotta kill that and just go for it.
Yeah, of course.
And so I did that, and then it just kept moving. I was probably the last person to get on TikTok, but I finally did it when Instagram Reels came out. Because I'm like, I'll just repost them to TikTok.
For sure.
And TikTok was the biggest hit in the end.
Yeah. The one that actually like takes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had you produced any kind of content before that? I know you're like, maybe you're sharing with family and friends on Instagram or something like that, but it's a little bit different to be diving into maybe like the science behind skincare and like different routines and stuff and sharing that with an audience.
Yeah, it was wild. I was a pretty private person, but thinking back, my friends were like, but you always had your phone out in high school, and you were always Snapchatting, you're always creating stuff, even if it was just for like the five of us. Mm-hmm. You were always the person that captured the moment. I'm like, oh, that's a good point. So it was there. I just had to like get it a bit farther out.
And getting over the cringe part is also a very difficult part. Like, we've all been there. I felt like, but that's where like 2020 had some like magical power almost, because it was like, well, the
cringe
world is ending,
didn't exist,
so didn't
really,
it,
like, 100%. The whole pandemic,
it fully didn't, because it was like, well, we're all just at home. Like, what else am I supposed to do?
I see people putting that now, like, kind of a resurgence of the, you know, the ins and out lists before around New Year's. Everyone's saying cringe is in.
Cringe is in. It's like, it's why not? It's like, who cares?
Exactly. Of course,
Who cares? And it's also like, especially with like this world, I find it hilarious that like people still like cringe at like social media and stuff like that, when it's like, the second though that someone becomes successful on it, it's not cringy anymore. But it's like, okay, you know what I mean? It's that like idea that was like, oh, it was only cringy when I was doing it at the beginning, but now that you're successful in it, that's when it's not cringy, that's when it's cool, and that's when you want to know like, oh, how much money are you making, or oh, like, how do you get all this free stuff? Like, that's when it becomes cool.
How was the transition for you then between like, you know, Snapchatting to a group of like close five friends to then sharing it to the world, and then clearly building up a community of people who are engaging with your content that you have no idea who they are? What's that like, and how was the transition there?
That blew my mind, because at the very beginning, I think a lot of people created pages during the pandemic to also do the same thing.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of community of like fellow influencers, where there was just like love and support, and that was fantastic. But TikTok was a new level, where I'd go viral and then I'd get that like mass audience of people that did not agree or did not like the post. You get that first wave of hate, and it's like, oh my God, like, it's like keeps you up at night. But once you get past that and you realize like, that's their opinion, it's okay. It's a really neat space to be in, where you have really thick skin and you just continue to post what you're doing, who you are, and then you find those people that care and they want to do it. I think that's so cool. And I realize now, like, I sort of have like a mantra, if everyone comments and they agree and we're all happy with my video, it didn't go viral enough. It didn't reach enough people.
Right.
I need someone to be like, I don't like this, or that offended me, or something like that. Cause I'm like, okay, it's reaching enough people.
And is it like people getting offended over like skincare? Like, what are those things that you think people get the most offended over when you're making something? Or is it like literally any part of life? Cause it's like, everyone just wants to argue.
It doesn't matter.
I think that's the world anyway, right? Like, even if you're not talking about a topic that is strictly like black or white, and you have, or there are strong opinions on either side, I should say, so there's always going to be someone who maybe disagrees with a little point about like, no, you shouldn't, skincare routine, for example, like, oh, you should do this one before that product and this and that. Like, there are going to be differing opinions. And I think you're right. It's probably a good sign if someone's disagreeing that it is reaching that wider audience, even though that might be tough to like start to deal with if you're getting, you know, a little bit of not hate, but like people disagreeing with you. I know that that's not easy to...
No.
So you were saying that you saw specifically like a lot more growth like on TikTok. When did you really notice like a change, like in this past like year or so, was it? Or like, when did you really notice a shift?
It was funny. This time last year, yesterday to the day, I posted a TikTok where I finally reached 10K. and now I'm at 250K. Oh, wow. So it's kind of insane to see that progress because I've worked for my 9-to-5 in a tech startup. So I'm always used to pace. But when you look back, it's like, this is actually kind of insane.
Yeah.
So I think that was a really big turning point. I went to a Tampa Bay game and the arena fit 20,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And looking around, I'm like, oh God, I'm at 10,000 people right now. Like, maybe one day I'll be at 20,000. So to think there's 250,000 people watching my videos sometimes is just bonkers. So I think that was a turning point. But each day I kind of wake up and I'm like, 50,000 people watched my video today. And I'm just talking about concealer. Like, this mm-hmm. is so wild. But that's why I love the internet.
That's like a really healthy way of looking at it. Because I mean, I'm really bad at like forgetting that numbers are people. Like, it's like, it's a disassociation. And I think it's like really easy for people to get caught up in numbers as opposed to people. Because when you start looking at this, people that are watching it, you're right. It's like, I've done it too, where it's like, I'm at Bud stage. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this is like, more people will watch my video tonight from this concert than that are sitting at this concert, which is crazy when you put it that way.
Yeah.
But like, it's.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So that's a really healthy thing that if you already know, understand that, because I just find that it's so easy to get caught up in like a number versus a human being, mm-hmm. which is a very difficult thing.
Okay, I do want to talk about going back to quitting your job mm-hmm. recently, because I was watching a video that you put out. And I just want to make sure that I get it right. You mentioned that you've been lacking self-purpose, and that was maybe one of the reasons to like switch up, I guess, your career at the moment.
Yeah.
I think that's something that often a lot of people would feel as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not just someone who's looking for a career shift, but it's tough to try to find your life purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe phrased in like a, you know, a huge, big, bigger than
I was like, you're asking her life's purpose? That's a big pie in the sky question.
As someone who included that in a video, you know, over the next, say, 90 days, I think that you mentioned of wanting to explore this without a, you know, full-time job that you've mm-hmm. just left. How do you do that? Like, how do you approach, you know, getting back to, you know, finding what you're passionate about?
Yeah, I think I realized, like, I had to ask myself, it was the Barbie movie. It was the Barbie movie that did it. When she's like, what was I made for? I'm like, what am I made for? That's really what did it for me.
That's true. I get though.
Like, what am I doing? Like, I enjoyed my job, but I was definitely solving for others instead of myself. And I was putting others first, which we all do, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But it was just getting to a point where I wasn't healthy. Even my sister was like, we don't really like hang anymore. And she's like my best friend. So I was like,
And if she's and if it's enough for her to point it out.
That was big for her to do that. So I was like, okay, like, how am I spending my day? Why am I spending my day that way? And like, if I don't have my health, if I don't have my family, then what am I doing it for? So I think in the next 90 days, what's really cool about content creation is I can go explore and also share. So I'm like doing a double whammy where mm-hmm. I'll go do a baking class and see if I like that. I'll go like mm-hmm. try Taekwondo and see if I like that and just see what matters to me. But I'm excited. It's kind of like those shows where you watch documentaries of someone like going around the world and trying new things. It's going to be me the next few months.
What was the response like when you posted the video?
It was really positive, which was great, but I think we can all agree that it takes a few negative comments mm-hmm. to hone in on that, like tunnel vision, which always happens. I'm getting better at it though, but of course there were folks that looked up to me because I could juggle it all,
for sure.
So they were upset that I quit, but even though, you know, I said I'm not healthy, I'm not happy, like, yeah, you all like these things.
The one thing I really loved is that you laid it out, like every single thing that you're like, these are the exact reasons why, but it's the internet, so there's always going to be people there still.
There's always going to be people
upset with it.
Yeah, and it was too bad. And I never said, you know, I'm living this easy life now, like, look at me, I'm going to be a full-time influencer forever. I just said, I just need to figure things out. Maybe mm-hmm. I'll start a business, I'll figure it out. But people were like, wow, this sucks, unfollow.
I think it also has to do with, just because like I get those types of comments all the time. I still have my 9-to-5 job, but I was tagged in, I was telling you like at the break, I was tagged in this video like 50 to 100 times of this girl being like, when your favorite 9-to-5 influencer quits their job to become an influencer full time. And I got tagged in a million times being like, if Sarah ever does this, like I'm like, Sarah can't do this at like all of these things. Like, and it's almost like they don't think that I can see it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know, but they're being tagged in it. So it's like this weird like pressure almost, I feel like. Did you feel that at all like before quitting? Like this weird pressure of like, oh, but like, will they not see me as relatable anymore if I like do leave? Yeah.
Yeah, because I was telling a few people like, I think I'm going to do it. And they're like, oh, but you're like known as the corporate TikToker. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I don't have to be known as that.
Yeah,
right? Like,
and you can evolve. Oh, that's a healthy, that's a really healthy way to look at it though, that you can evolve and like change and you have to.
You have to.
And that's the thing about the absolutes too. Because I know like, because you made a video in the past like saying that you like maybe like wouldn't become a, like a full-time influencer. Yeah. Or whatever that means, but that doesn't necessarily mean one, people change their minds, but two, like it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not gonna do other things.
Exactly.
Well, I think you kind of alluded to that too, and like going to cooking classes and trying new hobbies, and maybe what you're sharing isn't like directly career focused with mm-hmm. you know, traditional 9-to-5, but that mm-hmm. is, I think your rates are like, that's almost the exact opposite, because you then have or will have a ton of new opportunities to be able to create content and share that with people. And I would almost argue that, I hope that this is the case, that like your audience maybe picks up on then that this, maybe they want to reflect themselves in someone who's trying new things and going outside of their box, as opposed to just being able to juggle it. Because I think that that sometimes can get toxic mm-hmm. with creators online as well, is that like, you both probably know this exactly.
You're like looking at me while I'm doing it. You're like looking at me.
Well, I'm sitting with both of you.
I'm leaving this show.
No, it's right. It's true. It's true. It's the grind set.
Yeah.
I hate it. And I know. That's why like I let everyone know my mental health is in the dumpster. it's like this weird, like, oh God, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like, especially if you're just naturally busy about it. Like when you put in your like, I looked like your media kit and it said like, I don't sit still. I'm the same way naturally. Like I just love to do a lot of things. But then when you add in like people watching it and social media on top of it, then you feel like you have to do even more things because there's people watching. And then it's like this weird rat race. Mm-hmm. Oh, but you still have this job that you like love and you like worked so hard for. And it's like this career that's like, that's the thing that you thought you were going to do. But then now you have this other thing and you can't be 100% in everything. Yeah. Instead, you're doing like 20% here, mm-hmm. 15 here. And that's like the hardest thing for people to grasp and comprehend, is that like you can't, you're dragging yourself like so thin into like 90 million directions.
Yeah, that wasn't fair for my team. With my 9-to-5, I had a small team. I was a manager. They all watched my TikToks, which was hilarious, but it was a great, healthy relationship. But I couldn't give them my all, which was not fair. So I had to cut the cord because I have to be like the best manager to them. It's only mm-hmm. fair. But I couldn't, because my mind was like, oh yeah, I got to make those two TikToks. Maybe I can leave around 4 to catch the sunlight. Like it just wasn't.
But those are like real things, especially when you're doing the sunlight thing is like the realest thing ever. Me being like, Jacob, I can't film this ad today because I'm not getting home until 6:30 after work and I need sunshine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think most people know this, like that are listening, I switched jobs in April. Like I'm still mm-hmm. a producer and I still do the same thing, but I actually moved from a managerial based job where I manage people's day to day to a project based job purposely because of that. Because I basically went to my boss and said, I'm either leaving because I can't, it's not fair. Like, and I know if like I have a day, even if I'm not actually slacking, but I feel like I am, mm-hmm. like my coworkers, like my team can go and look online and be like, oh, well, Sarah had enough time. She left early to go to an event or something like they can look at it that mm-hmm. way. Even if that's not factually true, I understand that relationship where they could do that. You're right. It's like not fair to them. So mm-hmm. I switched into a project-based position where I'm working on projects instead of people.
Nice.
And it was like night and day, because when you want to be the best version of yourself for all of them, especially, it's not fair for their career growth.
Well, it's also not fair to yourself too, at the mm-hmm. like first and foremost, right? Yeah. Like you can be your best version of yourself for like everyone else that you have responsibilities for, but also like I think you referred to it at the beginning of the podcast, of like if you're not, you know, you're seeing holes, your sister's texting you and be like, hey, we haven't hung out in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you also probably owe that to yourself to be like, okay, maybe I'll figure something out and cut ties with something that's maybe no longer serving you, right?
How did you find, like, so, you know, you had said, like, you're going to give, like, the soft lifestyle, like, 90 days. what, like, do you think this, like, it's like a court, it's like a corporate brain, like a quarter? Is that, like, how you're thinking, like, giving yourself Q1 to be so
Trust me, I've already forecasted the budget. I've done and all of that. Yeah, like, and that's what's fun about working a white collar job that we have. There's a lot of transferable skills to this influencer
100%
lifestyle. Like, there's so many things with business. There's acronyms, there's, you know, budgeting, invoicing, all of that. Even just like going through agreements, because I worked in HR, I was constantly going through employment agreements, service agreements. And so to have influencer agreements, I'm like, no, we're amending that, we're redlining that. And so that's been really fun. Nowadays, most of us are remote workers, mm-hmm. so that really helps. So Zoom is an easy tool for us. We can hop on there. We got our lighting in check. So that's like no problem. And brands, they actually rarely want to hop on a call, but when they do, they love it. Like, they light up mm-hmm. and they love to see who's behind the camera. So that's, I don't get nervous about things like that when I would have probably. And I think there's a lot of like corporate lingo around quarters, H1, H2, KPIs, mm-hmm. and that can be incredibly intimidating. Even if it's a quick Google, you might not know how to integrate it into your language. Mm-hmm. But for us, sometimes it's second nature, as much as we kind of hate the acronym lingos. And then just legal documents. Again, this depends on your position, but for me in HR, I was very comfortable with legal documents, just sort of challenging certain clauses and things like that. But I do think that's why a lot of people get management, because it's the legal documents that are mm-hmm. so scary, because you're tied to them. So that's hard, but yeah. But at the same time, I also agreed to start getting management, which again, a lot of people were mad at. You
which is represent
yourself.
Why? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
sorry. Oh my God.
Why not? It's such a lonely industry. Like, you don't really have coworkers. You don't have a boss. Yeah. And so to have like a friend on your side that's like, I'm going to check your emails. I'm going to figure
that's
it out for
you. That's insane that people would be mad about that, because like, I think that's people not understanding necessarily what a manager does.
I don't think so.
Because like, right. they do more than, I mean, like, I don't know about other people's managers out there, but like, I talk to Jacob more than anybody else in my life. I don't know about other people out there, but I think it's like, they don't realize it's not just like Jacob like reviews a contract, says good to sign, then takes a percentage. Like, that's not how it works. It's exactly. like also like we'll have meetings to like ideate, and like they care about like your brand building as well. And like yeah. maybe they'll host a podcast with you one day. Like, I think they just, maybe that's a misunderstanding of understanding what like, maybe like, I think people think of managers as like traditional agents, kind of like TV agents yeah, and stuff a lot of the time.
That's like,
yeah, your team that's like,
oh, you've made it big.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a question that I did have for you actually, because that being on the talent manager side of this equation, I'm always so interested when a creator is like, you know what, maybe it's time for an mm-hmm. extra set of hands. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the moment that kind of happened for you, or what was the reason that you're like, maybe let's explore this management thing?
Yeah, it was about 5 months ago when I was still working full time. I was getting burnt out and I was like, I just need to outsource this, because I would close one laptop at the end of the day and then open the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just becoming too much. But I was in a trial period and I kept that going even after I decided that I wanted to quit, because I had such good camaraderie with my manager.
Yeah.
And they have so many resources that I will never have. So say I want to work with XYZ brand, my manager will be like, oh, I know four people that work there. Let me go for coffee with them. We'll talk to them. And I'm like, cool. Like, I don't know them. Like, I would just cold email like info@whatever. So it's been really nice. And I've met so many other creators that are represented by them as well. So that's been really fun.
That's really helpful. Yeah. I just think, I don't know how you both feel about this, but I struggle with the idea that people assume someone's not relatable just because they're not doing the thing that maybe they were doing when someone first followed them, right?
Yep.
And I think, like, especially for you, those people that maybe they're commenting, like, unfollow, whatever, those aren't the people that you want growing with you anyways. Because then, if anything, like, maybe over these 90 days, not even just the 90, but, like, however long, like, if you start a new business venture, if you do this or that, like, the people that follow along for that will never know you as the corporate girly before.
Well, yeah,
they'll
never know those it. People are not growing with you, by the way, as well.
Exactly.
Those people are stuck in the past. any growth requires that there has to be some kind of change, right?
It's
so
true.
Like, you have to, yeah.
And I also think it's just like such a weird double-edged sword, but it's like the people that watch you and like, they like want you, it's like people want you to grow, but only to a certain, some people want you to grow to like a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we want you to be successful and big, but not so big that then everything you do changes and that you now, I don't see myself.
I
in
still
you
want my
you.
Comments to be the top on your
video. Like,
do you feel the pressure from your audience now that say you wake up today and this is your first day being self-employed? Do you feel the pressure to get videos out there and hopefully people kind of respond well to this change?
I think so, yeah, because now, like, the heat is on. Before, it was like, I have my income, this is just for fun, yeah. And it makes a bit more money. But, like, who cares? I don't care what people think. I don't care if I'm relatable. But now I'm kind of like, ooh, like, what do the people want? Like, what do they yeah. want to see? But I'm still going to stick with my guns. I think, like, authenticity is my main core value. If I'm not putting out me and what I care about, it's going to be boring. It's going to be hard. I'm going to be putting up barriers for myself. So I just have to keep it real or else I'm not going to.
I know in the video that I referenced previously, you also hinted at potentially starting a company of your own yes. in the future. Is mm-hmm. that
Jacob's always looking for the tea? He wants the scoop. Mm.
Is there a scoop? Like, do you have something that you're cooking up? What are you interested in, and what might you be
can give
the
us,
future?
You can give us broad. You can give yeah. us big yes. line. You don't have to tell us the name.
Give us the
you
specifics. Yeah.
I'll give you some hints. I don't even have an elevator pitch yet, or else I'd give more. I learned in business school that you should share your ideas as much as possible, because if you don't have any competitors, that's kind of a problem. There's something wrong there.
Yeah.
And if it can be easily stolen, you're not the person to build it. You don't have the secret sauce. So with all that being said, I have noticed in the creator space that there's not enough communities just for creators. There's a lot of third-party platforms that hook you up with other companies for deals, but there's no space for just like a creator guild, like for us to just go hang out, learn from each other, learn what the heck the analytics are doing this week, things like that. And so I think there's an opportunity there. As mentioned, it's a very lonely community, no coworkers, mm-hmm. no boss. So I'm sort of cooking up a bit of like a membership thing.
Ooh, I like it.
That. Yeah. I'll subscribe. I don't even have to be told anything else. Like, comment, subscribe. Sold. I'll do it. I'm sold.
Speaking of me liking the tea then, too, it's like if agencies and brands aren't involved, it's like then you can get some good tea in there,
that's
too.
That's the thing. You know? Like, it would
I'll
be...
come spill all tea. Yeah, no, I have lots of opinions
who's
if you want them.
What brands are blacklisted? No, like, who has awful briefs?
Our community would be so tightly held. It would be incredibly inclusive, but like... no managers, no companies.
Sorry, Jacob. See ya.
We'll give you the newsletter, but that's it.
Are you technically a creator if you're on this show? Kind of. You're like 50-50.
I ride the line, but I'll exclude myself from this conversation. I understand the need for
but
space
I actually
like that.
Think that's like, really, because even just like speaking to more creators in general, like I remember coming out of like the pandemic and like being invited like first events and stuff like that, and it's like so mortifying, and when you don't know anybody and stuff like that, it's like being a new kid at a new school. Mm-hmm. And then even now it's weird that when I've been doing it for a few years, and now it's like you know people, but you don't really know some people. It's like the same faces you see all the time, and then it's less like real conversations and like real like authentic like chats with people. So I think you're like right, that's a much needed space, because it's like everyone kind of wants to talk about that stuff, but no one knows how to do it. No. And a lot of people are naturally introverts that are creators. Mm-hmm. That most people don't realize.
No, they don't.
I'm a natural extrovert, and I think I freak the fuck out of people when I come out. Like my one friend Chelsea, I'll never forget, we'd met at an event, and then I like had said, oh, we should like grab a drink sometime. And then like 2 days later I text her, I'm like, so like when do you want to go grab a drink? And she responds, wait, like you were serious? Like you actually like are planning to? And so we met up for like dinner, and she was like, I've never had someone actually follow up.
Well, I feel
up.
Like there's a lot of wow. fake, you know, like yeah. we should get dinner at these types of events a lot of the
a
time.
A lot. Or like we should totally hang out, and then yeah. it never actually happens.
Yeah.
Which like as a planner and like a doer, I'm like, okay, so fuck, I'm telling, we're actually going to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's like but that's a great idea, because I think like
foster a real community. Yeah. Not like the facade real. Of one. I nope. like that. Yeah.
With people. You're right. Like I you said it multiple times, and it actually really holds true. Like there's no coworkers, there's no man, like there's no colleagues. You no. have to kind of look at them as everyone as your colleagues, but mm-hmm. then again, there's no like water cooler talk. Like there's no like place or like where you can all come together. I love that. When did you start like thinking about that as like a possible like business venture?
I went to a really cool dinner with hashtag paid, actually. Mm-hmm. They hosted a dinner with two creators and 20 marketers.
Oh,
a
interesting.
Crazy long table. And the creator and I got up and we started talking about our journeys and things like that. And I just got so much energy from it, even though I was only with one other creator. Mm-hmm. But just like asking questions and hearing from people and having that camaraderie was really important. And I came home and I was like, okay, where is that? Like, we're going to get more of that. And that had to be a company hosting that. So I just think that there's a huge miss there. So I want to set something up, and it'll like, I feel like I already have the slogan. It's going to be really community over competition, because I feel like a lot of people see each other as competition.
Yes.
Like,
true.
You and I could be like, no, I'm getting that brand deal. And you're like, listen,
I'm kidding.
It's like, why can't we both work together to ensure that we get what we need? Like learning from each other, knowing, you know, actually I have a contact at that company. I'm not working with mm-hmm. them anymore. here you go.
That's so true. I talk about that with because my first two real creator friends were Julia and Naomi, and like we, like honestly, like there was this moment we were in the back of an Uber going to an event together, and we all finally like shared our rates, and it was, I will never forget, it was like this like
rate transparency,
and we started talking about it, and it was crazy because we all like realized we were like in the same realm, and like she roughly charged, but it was just became the same. We were like, oh my god, like why were we not talking about this earlier? Like, oh, this place sucked. Well, they tried to offer me this. Oh, really? Because I got that. Like, it was this incredible like moment where we just could like breathe and be like, oh my god, like how are we not talking about this sooner? Because it's, you're right. Like, there's no other, like can't just like Google it like or anything like that. No. And like, and I've never seen those girls as competition, and that's like the best way possible. I'll get to comments like that all the time on TikTok.
And they assume sometimes, like it's been the case where you haven't been able to do something, but we've passed it
to somebody else.
Yeah. Somebody else.
That's my exactly favorite.
Yeah, when you're like, because why not elevate the community? Yeah. Not necessarily people who are trying to be your competition, but the community around you, because that's gonna come back to you.
Absolutely. And right. It's like abundance mentality. Like it's like if you see your friends being successful, like if I see like a brand that I'd love to work with people that are my friends, then I'm like, that's fucking cool, because then that's like, one, that means they're working with creators, which is already like a check mark, like hello, that's great. And then two, it means, oh, okay, then maybe that means I get to work with them one day, or maybe that means like there'll be more opportunities. Like abundance mentality, like thinking that everybody can like
be successful, there's accountability on the brand side as well, right? Is if they
know that everyone knows not, everybody.
Yeah, and for real. Yeah. I feel like for a long time, like I've been in working in the business for a long time, and it's a little bit different now because there is a little bit more chatter and community and whatnot than there was in the early days of it. But like for the longest time, there has been where like brands or this mentality that the brands kind of have the upper hand, and you know, maybe I'll just accept what someone gives me, especially with someone who doesn't know what they should be charging. Like if they blow up on TikTok or something out of nowhere and they're getting all these brand deal opportunities and they're taking like $100 for like a 6-video deal or something just because they don't know any better. I think that community would also like remove some predatory behavior in that sense, which is always a good thing.
And it's like, it's making me put my HR cap back on, because Ontario is getting really close to doing salary transparency for any jobs under 100K. So we're getting close to that. BC's already on it. So many states in the US. So it makes you kind of wonder, what about creators?
Yeah,
you
know?
If that's ever going to become a thing.
Makes you wonder. So
yeah. I also have a question that's totally not related to anything. This is a great discussion, but I see the rock on your hand and I need to know if you're going to make zoom in on it. I'm blinded. I need to know if we're going to get wedding content. Or like wedding planning content.
I am going to be the worst bride, but I'm gonna try. What's so funny is I was obsessed with weddings when I was like 12 to 14. Yeah. Like Say Yes to the Dress, 4 weddings. I would binge it. I
had TLC the craziest 24/7.
Absolutely. I had the craziest Pinterest board, which looking back already, I'm like, that was a choice. But it's weird. The older I get, the more I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do the damn thing. I wanna keep it small, I wanna keep it fun. I want to have a party. I don't want it to be intense, but I do want to keep the traditions of like walking down the aisle, having my dress. So yes, it will happen. The first thing on my fun employed checklist for the week is to start planning. So I have to put together my checklist.
So exciting.
I am very excited.
That's so true. My girlfriends and I were just talking about this weekend, but if you scroll through because our one friend's engaged, we're like, oh, if you started like using Pinterest, she goes, yeah, I had to delete my Pinterest and start a new one. Cause she goes, I looked at my like stuff that I pinned even 5 years ago. And she's like, no way, like burlap and like, you know, like
mason
when those
jars,
were to like, mason jars when those were trends.
Yep.
And it's so funny to like see, but I'm so excited to follow along on the wedding plan. I just love a party and I love events. So like I love watching people plan parties and events, so I'm excited to follow along.
Okay, I'm gonna need your help.
Oh my god, I will gladly help. Like me like inviting myself. Yeah. I will gladly help. I'll just put on the headset. I've always wanted to put on the headset.
You need
MCs?
And, like,
do you actually MCs? Do you want to
for real,
do you want to know what my new thing is? This is so obnoxious. All of my friends on New Year's Eve that were like coupled up, I was like, I don't want to be bridesmaid, I want to marry you all. And they're like,
oh, like the officiant.
Yeah, I want to be the officiant. Isn't that fucking cool? Isn't that so much cooler? My friend at work is like, one of her best friends is marrying the two of them.
That's fun.
And I'm like, that's so much cooler.
That was going to be one of my my COVID hobbies, was to get certified.
Oh,
I wanted to do it
100%.
But now, because so many.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
People are like, it was kind of like a real estate license.
It's difficult. No, it's hard now.
It's so hard. You have to be so religious and like dedicated to the cause. I don't go to church.
I know. I don't. Same or ever for me. So it's like, no, but it's like, it's so hard. I looked at it today. I was Googling it at work and they're like, no, you basically have to like get married ahead of time. And then like,
yeah,
this ceremony's like,
my brother,
like, if you want a friend to do it, if you want a friend to do it.
They had like the official officiant like off to the side who like observed.
That's smart. So you still pay them to do it.
And they like signed the license or whatever, but the friend still did the, I think they had to do one line.
Britt listens to this podcast.
The friend had to do, did everything else.
Britt McLean, you listen to this podcast. I know you do every single week. You should just do that. Yeah. She's the one that's having a friend marry.
There's for sure work around. Yeah.
It's really hard in Ontario. You're right. Like, cause it's like, I would love that. Just marrying people, that'd be so fun.
Why not?
Oh my God. Okay, so for the people that don't know, well, they know who you are now, but for the people that didn't, where can they find you? And I don't know, what exciting things do you have coming up?
Mm. I am Care with Kate on everything, and that came out of skincare.
Okay,
Kate.
I'm glad. I guessed that in my head. And I was like, I don't want to ask. It's really embarrassing if that
it
is not
over
what it's
there.
For.
It crosses over.
It was so hard to find a new username on like all platforms during COVID. So that's as good as it got. But some people think it's just like I care a lot.
Self care
could be worse.
Could
you know,
be
that's
lots
great.
Of things.
Could be like I don't care. I care. Yeah, you do. That's me on everything these days. And I think really I'd love to just continue to expand. So I want to get back on YouTube. I want to build a Pinterest page where people can go check out cool stuff there and just like explore. I would love to be a bit of a thought leader in the community, connect people, make sure everyone has a fighting chance. I think that's really what I want to do.
I love that. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks
this
for
is
having
so exciting.
Me. This was so much fun.
Good. I'm glad. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Talking Fast. We're here every single Wednesday. Like, comment, subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. Only 5-star reviews in 2024. That's the rules. I don't make them up. Please... No, I don't know what I was going to say. This is my first episode back, guys. You have to forgive me. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next Wednesday. Bye.